one word changes the sermon topic altogether. I tried to talk to us this morning about the topic, "This is Who We Are," tonight. I'd like to talk to us for just a few minutes about "This is Who We're Not." You know, the Bible indicates that there's positive and negative preaching. That's what helped us explain our service tonight. When somebody wants to know who we are, we can tell them, correct? And we might want to tell them who we're not. The first thing I want to suggest to you is we are not a denomination. The word denomination means a division. We did not divide out of anything. The church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1, verse 18. The church was built by the Lord, Matthew 16, 18. The first major denomination began, you know when? 1530, when the Lutheran church started. You have an idea how many denominations there are in the world today? When I first started preaching, we talked about 350. The last report, 33,800 denominations today. Think of that. And they're just growing like leaps and bounds. But the Church of Christ is not a denomination. Now it can be, and some people have made some of them that way, by taking on the traits of denominationalism. We are not, I hope, a denomination. Secondly, we are not an afterthought with God. There are people who say that the Lord intended to set up a kingdom, and because of Jewish rejection, the Lord, on the spur of the moment, changed his mind and said, I'll just build a church instead. That's not what happened. And so we're not an afterthought with God. How do I know? Come with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. To the intent that now on the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now watch this little statement. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? It means that the Lord had the church in his mind all the time. When you read the prophecies, like Isaiah 2, Micah 4, Daniel 2:44, Daniel 7:13-14, and others, you can't read those prophecies and not understand the Lord had the church in mind all along. And so we're not just an afterthought with God. He did exactly what he had planned. Next. I was in a meeting early in the spring in a southern Indiana church. And I was looking on their website and they said, "We are a Church of Christ church." You buy that? Is this church that meets in this building a Church of Christ church? You don't have to answer that loud. I want you to think about that for just a moment. We're not. We're not. Every Church of Christ is the Church of Christ, not a Church of Christ. And we do not belong to some organization, and so we're not a Church of Christ church. We're just a Church of Christ. Not a Church of Christ, but the. Many times when the Bible refers to the Lord's church, it's always the singular Church of Christ. The Lord said, "I will build my singular church." And when you read in the New Testament about letters to the churches, like the seven churches in Asia, each one of them was identified as the Church of Christ, like in Ephesus, and so on. And so when you catalog who we are not, we're not a Church of Christ church. So don't ever say that. You agree with that? Anybody disagree? I guess not, Donnie. Next. When we tell people who we're not in the majority. Never have been. In fact, the Lord's people have never been among the majority. Always the minority. Now take you back to the fifth book of Moses. In chapter 7 and verse 7, when he said, "The Lord did not set his love upon you because you were the greatest of all people." In fact, he said you were the fewest. Remember that one? Of all people. In the book of Matthew 7, 13 and 14, when the Lord described the two ways, the broad and the narrow, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he said this, "Enter ye in at the strait," that's S-T-R-A-I-T, it's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. That's an interesting word. That word means it's restricted, difficult, like the Strait of Magellan, or a boat maneuvering in a body of water, and it's difficult. That's what that word is in Matthew 7. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and," you see that next word? "Few there be that find it." And so we're not in the majority. And that's okay. We're still the Church of Christ, as revealed in the pages of inspiration. You know, some churches brag about the fact we have to be right because we're the biggest church in town. That don't mean nothing. Nothing. It may mean they're just wrong. These big mega churches that attract so many people, they're questionable, aren't they? Their churches do all kinds of stuff today like that. And that may be one reason they're in the majority. But as you continue to think about with me, who we're not a social club. Most churches are. The emphasis placed today among many churches, eat, drink, and be merry. Not so with the Lord's church. In Romans 14 and 17, he said the kingdom, by the way, the kingdom and the church are often the same, not always. The kingdom is not meat and drink. Somebody said, "I thought it was meat and drink. I thought it was passing out the coffee and donuts." Paul said, "No, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit." Romans chapter 14, verse 17. This church have a kitchen around here somewhere? Fellowship hall? We're in the fellowship hall right now, by the way. Right? Fellowship. It's a great word. I won't talk about that. A lot of people misunderstand the word fellowship today, by the way. We're not a social club. I was up in the Chicago area and we went by a mega church building. They were building a gymnasium. This church have a gym? What would you do with it? Play basketball in, probably. Yeah. At that particular group, you could drop your car off and then change your oil. All changing church. How about that? If it doesn't make any difference what you do and what you believe and what you think, that's not bad. Get a free oil change. But the church that we're members of is not a social club. And never make it that way. Don't let it get started. If someone around here wants to start it, what do you do with it? Nip it where? In the bud. You heard of that? Nip it in the bud. You know, anybody know what that means? Up north, when spring comes and maybe the fruit begins to put out its bud and it comes to freeze and it gets nipped in the bud. That's where that comes from. Nip it in the bud. That's pretty important to learn. Next. We're not a material building. I expect people drive down the street out here and point over here and say, there is the Mill Street Church of Christ. Do you think they do that? I'm sure they do, don't they? Is this the Mill Street Church of Christ? Is it? Floor, windows, doors? No. This church is not a material building. I give you two or three points about that. In Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira lied about their giving, and God don't like lying, by the way. Within 3 hours, both of them were gone. And I read in the book of Acts 5 and verse 11 that fear came upon the whole church. Have you ever noticed this building being afraid? In the worst of storms? No. People get afraid. In Acts 11:22, I read of things coming to the ears of the church. When you leave in just a few minutes, I want you to look around and see if this building has any ears on it. Think it might? A material building has ears. And I read in Acts 14 and 27, where it says the church was gathered together. I got to thinking, does that mean the had a storm and it blew down the building and it scattered the pieces everywhere and the brethren out there picking up the pieces and putting it back together? Is that what that means? No. The people gathered together. And so I can say without any reservation, we're not a material building. We're a spiritual building, I pointed out this morning in the positive end. As you think about who we're not, we're not a political organization. Some people sometimes try to make it such, but we're not. For example, in the book of Romans, chapter 13, he said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's the government. That's the political organization. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I'm in Romans chapter 13. Whosoever therefore resists the power resisteth the ordinance of God. It is an ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. But he that is the powers that be is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. That's capital punishment, by the way. Do you know that? For he is the minister of God, of revenger to execute. The government executes people. Right? It's their job. Wrath on him that doeth evil. But the church, of which we are members, is not a political organization. Peter had a little something to say about that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. This is what it says. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. We're not a political organization. It's a separate entity. And there's a separation between church and state, as you may well know. Next. We're not a militant people. We're not a fighting bunch of people. Like the Muslims, for example. Although we are fighters. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. You familiar with Isaiah 2? When he made the prophecy concerning the Lord's church. Isaiah chapter 2. And then he says some things like this. In Isaiah 2, beginning with verse 4. For he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords, that's implements of war, and the plowshares, going from fighting to farming. Their spears they were used to kill with, and the pruning hooks out of the vineyard, pruning, cutting trees. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. From that we learn that we are not a militant people. Some religious organizations are militant. That's their job, like the Muslims. That's not our job. Although at the same time, we are to fight. We're fighters. That's one way person we are. How do you know that? In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, then lay hold on eternal life. Next, and finally, we're not a man-made church wearing human names. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not man-made. Most of these thousands of denominations that you can read about and see about, they're man-made. Wearing the names of men, honoring them, practicing what they think. But we're not of that caliber, fortunately, yet. Some churches have drifted away from the truth and have become denominations in the things they practice and teach. Well, I hope you began to get the point. There are some things we are. Don't be afraid to stand up on those. While at the same time, we're not some things. Thanks for listening so well. But should you be in this ordinance and you're not a member of the church the Bible talks about, you can become a member even tonight. How do you do that? You've already done some of it. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. You must believe or die in your sins, John 8, 24. Repentance is required of everybody, Acts 17, 30. You must make a public confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When I take a person's confession, I like for them to say exactly what the eunuch said in Acts 8. Remember what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I hear some preachers take a fellow's confession, or ladies, and they say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They kind of grunt. Say, You like that? I like for them to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't you like that? Can I hear amen on it?
Amen.
Did you do that? Then after you've made that good confession, a public one, by the way, not in a corner, before men, Matthew 10, 32, 33. And then you're ready to do what? To be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 27, for the remission of your past sins, Acts 2, 38, to have your sins washed away, Acts 22, 16, to rise to walk in a new life, Romans 6, 3 and 4, to be saved, 1 Peter 3, 21, to be added to the church of Christ, Acts 2, 47, then be faithful and godly the rest of your life, that heaven might be your home. Maybe you've done that, but you got careless, and you drifted away and want to come back to be restored, you can do that even tonight. By repenting of the sins for which you're guilty, confess them unto the Lord, we'll pray with you, that God might forgive you, like Simon in Acts 8 and 1 John 1, 9. If you're subject in any way to the Lord's invitation, invite you to come while we sing the song.